Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to the Beyond Forgiveness podcast. I am your host, Alex Christine. Let's just dive in. So, faith, hope, and love. These are three virtues that most Christians know of or are familiar with. But what do they really mean in the context of our daily lives and how that kind of works out in our daily lives? And also, why does Paul say that love is the greatest of them all? He says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So in this episode, I really just wanted to kind of hone in on that, because that in particular, that verse, because if those three remain, that means there's something that comes before. Same for as he starts that with, now these three remain. So I just want to explore the main three, faith, hope, and love, and then get into kind of the before of that. Okay, so bear with me, but let's start here. So love obviously holds a special place above the other virtues mentioned there. Faith and hope are vital, but love is the virtue that fulfills and transcends them. So we'll also explore how these virtues work together in the life of a believer. So the context and meaning of First Corinthians 13:13 is Paul's famous love chapter. It's often read at weddings, but its primary context is within the church to address divisions, spiritual gifts, and the importance of love in the body of Christ. So in 1 Corinthians 12:31, Paul writes, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way." The more excellent way is love. Paul transitions from talking about spiritual gifts to discussing the supremacy of love. So to understand these three virtues, we can see faith in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is trusting God and his promises, even when we can't see the outcome, as that has been a major theme throughout these episodes. Then hope. We see in Romans 8, verses 24 through 25, "For in this we hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? Hope is the confident expectation of God's future promises, both eternal life and God's continued faithfulness in walking with us throughout our journey of sanctification." Love, finally, we see in 1 Corinthians, actually we see all throughout the Bible, but specifically here, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7, Paul gives a detailed description of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Actually, I have that right here. So, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrongdoing. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned like a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now I kind of just want to read that whole chapter, so I'm going to start at 13:1. now and go through verses 1 through 4. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And that's where in chapter 13, verse 4 picks up, where love is patient, love is kind. So, but yeah, I definitely wanted to add that first part in there, or include that in there. And I think also, I don't know where it is in scripture, but there's another place in the Bible where it said that love is this, that God sent his son Jesus, who laid his life down for us to give us eternal life, or something like that. It's like, true love is this, to lay your life down for the brothers, or something. I gotta find it now. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I was looking for, is in John 15, verse 13, that says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. Here are some others. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 says, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There's love, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I have to pray that one over myself often. Luke 10, 27, love the Lord your God, the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. The first law is the love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. And John 13, verse 35 says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. 1 John 4:10, if we love each other, God lives in us. If we love each other, God's love has reached its goal. And then 1 John 3, verse 1 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Okay, so back to this. So yeah, in all of this, we see love is selfless, patient, enduring, and is the foundation of Christian conduct. So the significance of this, of 1 Corinthians 13:13, is Paul is saying that faith, hope, and love are permanent. They are permanent gifts that are bestowed upon us by God through Jesus Christ. Yeah, even when all the other gifts or everything fades away, faith, hope, and love will remain. However, love is the greatest because it is eternal, and it is the essence of God's character. So then there's... So how do we trust in what we can't see, having faith? Well, the role of faith in the Christian life we can see in Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 9, faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. So we see that faith is essential for salvation, and it is the means by which we receive God's grace. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. So faith is also central, then, to our relationship with God. It's about trusting in God's character and his promises, and not necessarily our feelings, which I do acknowledge feelings 100%. And they're real and heavy and burdensome, but that's when leaning on the word of God is so, so, so important, because we can get in our heads and spiral out of control, and before we know it, 10 years have gone by and we have believed some terrible lie that the enemy planted in our head that has gotten absolutely out of control. And yeah, that was a side note. So, yeah. So then, and that's another thing too that I think is helpful is when reading the Bible, sometimes I'll say, you know, I'll pray this verse, but that's because it's good. I feel very connected to God when I am reading back to him his promises, like, because my words aren't really that, in my experience, that's how I am learning to trust in this season. I know that there are specific prayers that, you know, there's like, you know, people have prayer journals and all that and stuff, and I have notebooks where I've written down things I prayed before, but you know, the Bible also says, like, don't use so many words when you pray. But then there's also, let your supplications be known to God, like ask, seek, knock. So kind of trying to still understand that a little bit right now. But yeah, moving on from that, faith's temporary nature in this life. 1 Corinthians 13 verses 9 through 10 says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away." So in this present age, our faith is needed because we don't see everything clearly. But when Jesus returns, faith will give way to sight. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Then there is the primacy of love over faith. So while faith is vital, once we are with God in his presence, we will no longer need faith. Love, however, will endure forever because God is love. So our faith and hope is about being placed in him, and love is from him. And so we can share that equally in our relationship. So then hope, it is the confident expectation of what is to come. Romans 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." So we can see that hope fuels our joy, and hope fuels our joy and peace in Christ, and especially during trials. So Titus 2 verse 13 says, "Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." So hope is the eager anticipation of the return of Christ and the fulfillment of God's promises. Romans 8 verse 24 through 25 says, "Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? If you see something, why do you hope in it? You know, like, there's no need to. It's like, I hope this happens. Well, it happened, so you don't have to hope that it happened." But so yeah, in the present we hope for what we cannot yet see, but when Christ returns, our hope will be fully realized. And then again, why does love surpass hope? Because when Christ returns, our hope will be fulfilled. We will no longer need to hope for what we already have in the presence of God, but love will remain unchanging and eternal. So, then the supremacy of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, Paul concludes his discussion by declaring that love is the greatest of the three. So, why is that? Love is the essence of God's character. God is love. We see in 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 4:16. It is the ultimate virtue because it defines God's actions toward us and our actions towards others. In Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, Jesus says that the greatest commandments are to love God and to love others. I also want to note that loving God came first. In that order. So love is eternal. 1 John 4:16 says, So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and anyone who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in them. So love is the eternal bond that we have with God and with others. It is not a temporary quality, but it is a defining, it is the defining attribute of our relationship with God and one another. That another is love is the fulfillment of all virtue. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, the qualities Paul describes in love, the patience, kindness, humility, gentleness, or wait, no, that was the fruit of the Spirit. I'm sorry. So yeah, the qualities Paul describes in love, patience, kindness, humility, they are all the fulfillment of the virtues that faith and hope point toward. Galatians 5, verse 22 through 23 shows how the fruit of this says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, which manifests in many ways: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Your girl needs to write these on her wall now. I'm gonna look them all up. Okay, Galatians 5. Okay, 30 minutes later, I finally found it. Okay. So Galatians 5, verse 22 says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." So, yep, most of them right, I think. Anyway, back to where we were yet again. Okay, so love is the more excellent way. What does that mean? How do we get that? Well, 1 Corinthians 12:31 discusses how love is the more excellent way, and it's better than even the greatest spiritual gifts, such as prophecy, healing, tongues, because it is the foundation upon which all else stands. So, faith and hope in action, what does that look like? Well, that's a great question. I would love to hear how that looks in some of you guys' lives right now. I kind of talk some about taking steps of faith and doing things that have definitely been out of my comfort zone recently, but being empowered by the Holy Spirit and truly like the strength of God and just moving me in every step of the way and speaking through me. Those are kind of some ways that he's been working in my life right now as far as faith goes. And then hope, of course, is the expectation of our salvation at Christ's return. So, yeah. So then Romans 5, 1 through 5 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and hope does not put us to shame." So faith and hope are not abstract concepts. They produce real peace, joy, and endurance in our Christian walk. So how do we live out love? Even better question. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7 challenges listeners to examine how love is reflected, so living out love, I guess. How do we do that? You know, I guess we can start by maybe asking us some of the questions that are said about the fruits of the Spirit. Like, you know, we can kind of start to look at our lives and see how that aligns with the fruits of the Spirit. But I also want to point out to let patience have her perfect work. And there's a lot with the gifts that would be another episode, so I don't know that I should get too much into it. But I am going to touch on it here in just a second. Just being like, am I patient? Am I kind? Do I seek the good of others? You know, am I self-controlled in my communications with them? All of that. So John 13, 34, verse 34 through 35 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So the world will know that we're followers of Christ by how we love one another. So just kind of recapping that, faith, hope, and love are foundational virtues in the Christian life, but love is the greatest because it is eternal, fulfilling, and the essence of God's nature. Faith, hope, and love will eventually give way to sight and fulfillment, but love will remain forever. So, you know, with this, I personally am going to be reflecting on how I can show love more fully in my relationships today, but also with the understanding of what love is, and that we love God first and try to understand and love people rightly, because I think sometimes we can think we're loving somebody, but it's like a harmful thing, and I don't really think that that's tough. Sometimes, yes, doing things out of love can be hurtful to another person, but I also think it that one's tough, yeah. Because you don't want love to hurt, but I guess understanding our human nature and that we do live in a fallen and broken world, and that none of us are perfect, we are being made perfect. So it's just, that one's a little bit hard to say, because I personally, like, I wrestle with attaching the character of other people to the character of God, and I don't, that's not okay. That's like idolization, or adultery in the book is like, well, no, that'd be worshiping other gods. But really though, it's like, you know, because when we're called to esteem others as higher than ourselves, you know, and then also don't have any other teacher, don't call anyone else teacher other than me is what Jesus says, you know, and then don't even call your earthly father. And I kind of see why, like, so that we don't develop those connections unbeknownst to us, which gives way for the enemy to kind of steal those seeds that God has planted in us. But sometimes I think love involves sacrificing. Sometimes I think love means walking away, keeping them in prayer, and not neglecting that. I think sometimes love can mean going the extra mile. Love can mean laying your life down for someone else. I think love can, in the Bible, love is shown a lot of different ways. You know, you wouldn't think that someone dying would be a loving thing, but God sent his only son to die on the cross so that we could have eternal life. And Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, suffered on the cross for our sins, stuff we did before we even, while we were yet sinners. He died for the people mocking him. And so when we try to make love this like romantic thing, it can get confusing because it doesn't always look like that. Okay, so I did want to, if time permits, dive a little bit deeper into the now part of 1 Corinthians 13:13. So, because the now refers to the present time, but it's important to understand what Paul was contrasting this now with the before to fully grasp his message. So a breakdown of this context is like, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, which was struggling with division, spiritual pride, and misuse of spiritual gifts. So in chapters 12 and 13, he is teaching about the proper use of spiritual gifts and the most excellent way of living and serving in the body of Christ. In the larger context, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the various spiritual gifts that are given to believers. And these gifts are important for the building up of the church, but they are not eternal. They are given for a time and for specific purposes, especially in the context of the early church. So in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 11, Paul lists various spiritual gifts like wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, prophecy, tongues, etc. And these gifts are meant to edify the body of Christ in the present age, but they are temporary. In verses 27 through 31, Paul emphasizes that all believers are part of the body of Christ, and the gifts are to be used for mutual benefit, not for selfish gain or competition. So before Paul says, "Now these three remain," the focus is on the spiritual gifts. So the gifts, while they are valuable and necessary for the building up of the church and the church's growth and ministry, they are temporary in nature and they are not the ultimate aim. So this is key to understanding why Paul shifts the focus to faith, hope, and love in the next chapter. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul describes the temporary nature of spiritual gifts and contrasts them with the eternal nature of love. Paul begins 1 Corinthians 13 by saying that even the most impressive spiritual gifts, like even though I speak in tongues or have the gift of prophecy, he says, if I speak in tongues or men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanking cymbal. And he also talks about that even acts of great sacrifice are nothing if not motivated by love. So then in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10, there Paul points to the temporary nature of spiritual gifts, particularly prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Paul goes on to say that when the perfect comes, likely referring to the second coming of Christ or the full revelation of God's kingdom, the partial, which includes these temporary gifts, will no longer be needed. So this implies that at the present moment, the gifts are valuable, but their purpose is not eternal. In verses 11 through 12, Paul uses the analogy of childhood versus maturity. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. One second. That just brought something to my mind, because here lately, I have been struggling deeply with boundary setting, and I always felt like setting boundaries was unloving. I felt like it was pushing people away, and that's really not it at all, actually. So that's been cool to learn, but I've in this process of becoming more aware of that, I'm like, why am I always over explaining myself if I am trying to say no or set a boundary or something? And I heard the most profound thing the other day, I think, is Lisa Taker. She writes the Forgiving What You Can't Forget book. You actually should go watch her. She has some, like, devotionals, I think, on YouTube, too. I've watched one or two, and she's good. I mean, but yeah, in one of the things I was watching or listening to earlier this week, she said, in the context of boundary setting, she's like, a child explains, or explaining is for children. And then what was it? Explaining is for children, informing is for adults. I was like, whoa, that's awesome. So, I was like, that is really good. Okay. And so back to, that when I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. Similarly, when Christ returns and we see God face to face, faith and hope will be fulfilled, and we will no longer need the partial things that we depend on in our present imperfect state. Love, however, will remain because it is eternal. So the before was a time when spiritual gifts like prophecy, tongues, and knowledge were essential and vital for the church, but they're only temporary tools for a specific season. So in the present, faith, hope, and love remain as the three core virtues. Well, guys, sorry. Sorry, everyone. Lost the connection again. So let's try to wrap this up quick. Yeah, so in the present, faith, hope, and love remain as the three core virtues, but Paul highlights that love surpasses them both, and here's why. Faith. We will no longer need faith in the future because we will see God face to face, and our faith will turn into sight when Jesus Christ returns. Hope. Similarly, hope is about waiting for God's promises, but once they are fulfilled at Christ's return or when we enter eternal life, hope will no longer be needed because we will be experiencing the full reality of those promises. And lastly, love. Love is eternal because it is the essence of God's character and will never be surpassed. We will continue to love God and one another forever. Thus, the now in this context means that faith, hope, and love are the enduring virtues that continue to shape the Christian life. But the gifts that were needed to build the church during its infancy, such as prophecy and tongues, will pass away eventually. We see that love is the greatest because it is the only virtue that is both foundational and eternal. Faith and hope point to things that will eventually be realized in full, but love is the expression of God's character that will continue forever. So the purpose of faith and hope is to lead us into a deeper relationship with God, but love is the ultimate expression of that relationship. It is the fulfillment of God's law, which we see in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, and it's the mark of a true disciple of Jesus. We see in John 13, verse 34 through 35. So the transition from before to now in conclusion. Before, the now was focused on the spiritual gifts that were given for a temporary purpose, to build up the church during its early years and reveal God's will in a broken, incomplete world. Now, Paul says, faith, hope, and love remain because they are virtues that continue to shape the believer's life even as the other things fade away. Love, being the greatest, is the ultimate virtue that reflects the nature of God, and it will never pass away. It is the eternal bond that will continue forever, even when the other gifts fade. So, some personal questions, or some personal reflections I will be doing after this study. I have some questions here. How do faith and hope prepare us for the fullness of love? Then what are some areas of my life where I'm still relying more on temporary gifts or knowledge instead of on love? Or how can I cultivate love in my relationships, knowing that it is eternal and foundational to my walk with Christ? So, I'll be doing quite a bit of journaling today. But thank you all so much for tuning in. I, again, love and appreciate you more than you know, and I'm so grateful for your love and support and encouragement along this journey, and I hope that this continues to do so in your lives. I love you all, and I guess I'll say it, happy Valentine's Day.